The foundation of school education has historically been the mechanics of math and language, along with the facts of history and science. The goal of a school education was seen to be the development and growth of intelligence and intellect in a child. Look in the news today, you'll quickly come to the realization of how that certainly changed. That change brings with it debates, concerns, conflict. While some say that schools today are raising social awareness, others see social indoctrination taking place. Joining us to take a look at all this and how the organization she's a part of is responding is Vice President with Parents Defending Education, Caroline Moore. How are you today, Caroline?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me on.
Give you the website because the Parents Defending Education organization is quite active, and you'll need this website to keep track, and it is in every state, defendinged.org, and we have it linked over at our page. Just as a quick background, what's the goal, what's the mission of Parents Defending Education?
Yeah, so our mission is that we're a membership organization. Like you said, we're national, and we have thousands of members who are parents of school children all across the country. And so parents can submit, or even any person in a school district, so anyone in the country, can submit tips to us online. And what we do is we expose what's going on in school districts, whether there are problematic, lessons in a classroom, or if there are affinity groups that are segregating students based on the color of their skin or based on their sex. Those are discrimination things. And that way, if those tips are sent to us, then we can do something about it. So some tips we can just, post on our website, do a little write-up on it. But things of the nature of discriminatory things, or things that deal with preferred pronouns and social indoctrination, political indoctrination, we can, take legal steps. So I file civil rights complaints with the Department of Education so that gives them the information they need to investigate school districts and stop any discriminatory action against students. Or we see these affinity groups as teachers, too, and all students deserve to go to school and learn history, science, math, and English. And that's what they're going to school for. So we want to stop this political and social indoctrination of students and also teachers so that everybody, has a free place to learn.
And you certainly address it in a variety of ways. I mean, we've seen some organizations focus on a specific element like books and school libraries, for example, but that's part of what you do, as well as school policies and school activities. For example, with that ladder in an elementary school in Portland, Maine, it came to your attention that the ideas of the Black Lives Matter movement was being promoted. And some would say, well, learning about the movement is okay, but the way they did it, was that more of the problem?
Yeah, so I think that, civil engagement, and we think as an organization, civil engagement is important, right? I mean, everybody should contribute to their community as they live there. But, during the school hours, kids should be learning their subjects and getting a foundation of education. They shouldn't be learning about BLM type things. And this wasn't just learning about the history of it. Like you said, that's fine. I mean, there's no problem with that. But the issue is, teachers using emails and promoting this type of political speech, and also encouraging kids to participate in marches in the classroom, marching outside and doing it during school hours. It's not appropriate. And I don't know that it's necessarily age appropriate. Some of the email chains that we were exposing dealt with first grade students and teachers saying, gosh, we need to teach our kids how to talk about BLM and how to talk about a pyramid of hate, and how if, you stay silent and don't speak up for Black Lives Matter, then, you're part of the problem and you could be a problem to society down the road. And I really think that's, taking really just like a leap. I don't know that it's age appropriate for first graders to be learning this, or any student to be dealing with this during the school day. Whatever you do in your in clubs after school or at lunch, that's fine. But I don't think that, teachers should be promoting this type of engagement, because it's really pushing a hateful agenda, at least what they were doing in this particular case.
You mentioned the pyramid of hate. That's actually a invention, I guess we could call it, by the Anti-Defamation League, which has a serious purpose of helping understand how hate can lead to violence to at least the belief that an entire sector of the population should be annihilated. You can go back to Nazi Germany and the Jews. But it seems like this school took that concept and co-opted it in a completely different way than what the ADL had intended that creation to be used as.
Oh, most definitely. They definitely took some creative turns with how you could teach this to students. And, it's just very concerning, because you should be teaching kids about unity. And, you know, while people have different skin colors and, you know, their different biological sexes and that type of thing, I think that everybody in school, you should be learning about, you know, someone is different than me. I want to learn about their history, or I want to learn where they came from, not necessarily saying if you have a specific reaction to something or a non-reaction, that you're engaging in hateful speech by not speaking up for a specific population. And so I think that that has, you know, blowback for students. And I don't know that, you know, teachers are really in a position to be teaching that. And I don't think that anybody should have, you know, billboards in their classroom of, you know, a pyramid of hate. And by not speaking up and engaging in a BLM march during, you know, at 10 o'clock in the morning, I don't think that that makes you a hateful person. I think, you know, you go to school because you want to learn civics. I mean, I think that that's fine. I don't necessarily think that by not engaging in a march, you're doing something wrong.
Dr. Caroline Moore, Vice President of Parents Defending Education, defendinged.org, their website. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. You also had come to your attention the Cincinnati Public School System guidance for transgender students, basically saying that we're not obligated to communicate with the parents anything to do with how their child is self-identifying themselves. That seems to be, again, counter to what traditional school structure should be. I always call it it's a triangle. You have the student, the teacher, and the parent. All three have to be equally involved.
Oh, exactly. And I think that, you know, if you take a step back, I mean, the teachers, the parents, and the student, they all want the student to succeed. I think that's what school is supposed to be about. But by having policies where a student works behind the back of a parent with their teacher to, you know, socially transition, I think that that's very concerning, because, you know, parents, I mean, maybe there is a specific instance where this isn't the case, but overall, parents want the best for their children. They're their best advocate, and they want their kid to succeed, you know, as a member of society, but also academically. And like you said, I mean, this seems to be a trend that's going on. We've noticed it in red states and blue states. And we have a tracker on our website that tracks schools that have these policies on the books. And I checked the number, and it's like 900 school districts across this country have policies on the books where teachers do not have to inform parents if their child wants to engage in socially transitioning. And I think that that's really scary, because it affects 9 million students and families. And I think that, you know, if parents don't have the information that they need, how can they help their child? And I think that it makes it an us versus them situation. And like you said, with the triangle scenario, everyone's on the same team, and you're trying to push everybody forward together. And we think that by keeping parents out of the loop, I mean, you're hurting the child, but you're also really damaging the most important relationship that a parent and a child have. I mean, it's fundamental to existing in this world. I mean, and so I think it's very scary. But the Cincinnati policy, it takes it a step further than the other policies that we've seen. And that's why we did a specific dispatch on it this week and posted it on our website, because this policy was passed in 2001, but it was just brought to our attention. But what's concerning about it is that not only does the teacher work behind the back of the parent, but also if the parent, if the teacher thinks that there is a specific instance where the parent may not react well to the news of their child transitioning, the administrative person, that either it's a teacher or the principal or whoever is the student is talking to and is helping them engage in this behavior, they have the right to report the parents for child abuse, which is very scary because the parent wouldn't even have to do anything. It could, it's just an accusatory thing. So just if there's any instance where the teacher is worrisome of these parents for, I mean, they don't have to do anything. There doesn't have to be any instance where, you know, the teacher and parent have had a disagreement in the past or the child has brought this to their attention. It's just a scenario where if the teacher or if the teacher has some sort of a feeling, they can report the parent for child abuse. And I think that that is so terrifying. And so that's why, you know, we highlighted this policy this week, just because we can't even get over that such a policy would ever be on the books in any school district.
You're also be looked at as saying that every parent is a potential abusive parent when they hear the news or the information about what their child is experiencing, which is, you know, I always say a blanket statement just smothers the truth in reality. And that's not something any school teacher administrator should be a proponent of yet in Cincinnati, as you heard Caroline explain. That is indeed what they're doing. Real fast to wrap up, because someone listening right now is probably thinking, you know, I believe what Parents Defending Education is all about. What can that individual do to help support your work and your cause?
Oh, definitely. I think that if people go to our website, defendinged.org, there is a link on there to either, you know, contribute via tips, because that is very helpful, but also you can become a member of our organization. Our membership fees are very low, and we would just like insight from parents if you're not able to contribute. We just want to make sure that we're exposing everything that we can to try to impact change, because we just want every kid to go to school and learn. And I think that, you know, that's why we started this organization in the midst of COVID, because parents started noticing strange things were going on when their kids were learning at home, because they didn't know what was going on in the classroom. So, if people go to our website, definitely submit tips or become a member. And we would just love any insight that people have to what's going on in their district. And because the only thing that we can do is we could provide parents with information, and that's what we try to do on our website. We try to make everything very accessible to parents and, you know, to teachers alike. If they see things that are weird in their school district, I mean, you submit the tips anonymously, so we will never know, and everything is private. No one will ever find out who submitted anything. So that's something we pride ourselves on, because we don't want anyone to be singled out based on giving good information.
As Parents Defending Education, what they're doing, as you've hopefully become aware of, they're presenting the opportunity for conversation, information, realization, all to benefit the education of the kids, whether they're your kids or you just care about kids getting what we always thought education is supposed to be. As I said back in the intro, the mechanics of math and language, facts of history and science. Lunchtime recess, Jim. Yep, we got that. That should be in there too. But the social awareness, while important as study, that's something for the individual child through their family to develop as well. And a lot of schools, Cincinnati being a point of reference, they're excluding that from the equation. And that's obviously not the rule for a school to do. Learn more about Parents Defending Education, defendinged.org. She's their vice president. Caroline Moore, thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.